crashed. Former NHLers Pavel Dimitra, Josef Vasilchuk, and Ruslan Soleil were among those on board. Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada doesn't know anyone who follows a stricter routine than Sidney Crosby.
Every day he tries to make himself better for the next day, and things have to be 100% for him to be in the right state of mind and the right place to play.
Healy, a guest on Primetime. Crosby addressed the media today, said he's not ready to return, but does expect to play this season. And Georges St-Pierre has a new opponent for the UFC 137 main event. Nick Diaz out, Carlos Condit in. UFC President Dana White pulled Diaz, who failed to show up for his second media conference in as many days. I'm Andrew Nye, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
On Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590, The Jeff Sammet Show. We go live all night on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590, with you till 5 a.m. Lots of special guests on the show tonight, and we're proud to have each and every one of them on the show. And right now, no different, the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, joins us from his studio at home. And Pete, of course, we bring you on, and you're always so gracious with your time. And it seems like nowadays we only get to chat about tragedy. It's just a week after week after week, there's something. And this time around, we talk about the KHL plane crash, and this hit you hard as well, as you knew some of the folks that perished in this terrible tragedy.
Oh, absolutely. And next week, let's schedule where you talk about something happy.
Oh, you, but, no kidding. But I can't wait to talk about hockey, or just talk about our lives, or talk about you being in the Buffalo Bisons Hall of Fame. Like, we'll just spend 15 minutes talking about that.
Hasn't this been the most horrendous summer a hockey fan probably has ever had?
You know, I was saying about 15 minutes ago, Pete, that it just seems like every week, the typical hockey fan, you know, from the outside looking in, even you get knocked down with some terrible news. You get up off of the mat, you get knocked down again, and this time, you know, this being the fourth tragedy, if we're keeping count,
right,
this summer, this hurts. Every week it becomes more inconceivable, and this one is right up there.
I first got the call, Jeff, I guess, about 14 hours or so ago. My broadcast partner, Terry Crisp, driving back to Nashville from St. Mary's, Ontario, thought he'd heard something on the air in passing, and wasn't listening that carefully, that perhaps one of his former players, Brad McCrimmon, had been on this plane. And so the research began, and unfortunately I had to call him back and said, yes, it appears that he was, as coach of the team. And there was a guy that Terry used to break in the younger defenseman with the Calgary Flames in the late 80s. They won a Stanley Cup together back in 1989. And as Terry learned from his coach in the Philadelphia Flyers days, Fred Sherrill, you know, win tonight, that is, win the final game of the Cup, and you walk together forever. Well, Brad McCrimmon now among those who passed away as a result of that today. There are so many familiar names in there, and we were thinking for a while that Ruslan Soleil had managed to evade this by waiting in Minsk for his teammates to come on. According to all the reports I have seen since then, that unfortunately was not the case. And for Nashville Predators fans, a guy who really was a bedrock of the team's early years defense, Carlos Skrastinch, after 12-plus years in the NHL, had signed on with Yaroslavl Lokomotiv. Also on that team was a young Predators prospect who had spent two very good years with the Milwaukee Admirals, Robert Dietrich out of Germany, and a man who spent a portion of the 2006-2007 season with the Predators, Josef Vasilchuk. And all of this, yeah, it really hits you very, very hard, and I'm sure there are fans of other teams around the National Hockey League who have had similar tie-ins with this. And it's interesting. It's nice in a way that we realize now how global this sport is. I don't think 15 years ago anybody in Tennessee would have paid attention to a plane crash in Russia. But today, that has been the talk of the town here.
You have some special memories of one player in particular there, and that's Carlos Gresten. So you've got a special memory of him remembering a time where you were in New York.
Here's a young man from Riga, Latvia, and he comes over to North America for the first time after the entry draft of 1998. Plays a couple of games. He was the Predators' ninth round choice, their last draft choice, in their first draft that was held in what was then HSBC, or then Marine Midland Arena in Buffalo. And he makes the very solid impression in training camp, but spends the bulk of the year with the Milwaukee Admirals. And yet, as will happen with an expansion team in particular, things got thin on defense, so he came up and he became the first entry draftee of the Predators to actually play for the team in a regular season game. The next year, he pretty much becomes a regular. And the club makes its trip in late January 2000 into New York. So, the bus pulls up to the hotel, based in Times Square. And I just lingered and lingered because I wanted to see Carlos Krastinch, the young man from Riga, Latvia, get off for the first time in his life in New York City and look up. And I was seriously concerned. We're going to have to ask trainer Dan Redmond for an ice bag right away, because his neck was swiveling every which direction to take in all of Times Square. And then the skyscrapers. And I just said, "Hey, Scratch, not too much like at home, huh?" He goes, "Nothing like at home. Nothing whatsoever like at home for him." But I'll also recall how selfless he was as a player. He was maybe among the vanguard of those, because we have so many shot blockers in the game today. That was his game with the Predators. And we also saw how he usually was playing with the more offensive-minded defensemen, and Leafs fans certainly will remember the name of Drake Berehowski. Drake was here for a good part of the early years of this franchise, and he was paired oftentimes with Carlos. So Drake is the guy who's going up ice, going to take that huge shot of his. Carlos is the guy who's laying back, trying to help out with Mike Dunham or Thomas Vokoun or Eric Fichaud, whoever was in goal for the team in those early years, and the battles that he would have. Todd Bertuzzi was beginning to establish himself as a physical force in front of the net. Didn't do that with the New York Islanders, but after signing on with the Vancouver Canucks and becoming part of a big line with Marcus Naslund and Brendan Morrison, Bertuzzi was able to establish position in front of the net by just great timing before the puck would come near him on a pass from one of his two line mates or from back from the point. He would find a way of pushing off the defenseman who was marking him to create a little bit of space. Well, sometimes with Todd Bertuzzi, that push-off wasn't too delicate. On this particular night, which I remember, Todd Bertuzzi cross-checked Carlos Gresztinsz to the face, got the puck, put it in the net, and when he turned around, there was blood all over the ice. Carlos Gresztinsz had a broken nose, but Carlos did not issue a complaint. He just considered that part of the game and went back after it. And indeed, I don't know if Carlos missed a shift.
Pete Weber is the voice of the Nashville Predators with us on the Jeff Sammet Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. You also remember fondly about Carlos had a special nickname.
Sanks. He had a great deal of difficulty with the English diphthong, the TH sound, and as a result, he would substitute an S sound for that. And he was always very grateful for whatever he got, mentioned his appreciation, but it always came out as Sanks. So the guys, in addition to calling him Scratch in the way we are with hockey nicknames, nicknamed him for the most part Sanks. Hey, Sanks! Want a cup of coffee? No, thank you right now. Yeah, yeah. That sort of thing. But, hey, here's a guy, the Ironman record for consecutive games played by an NHL defenseman, 495, didn't miss a game his last 3 years here, went on to Colorado. The streak ended several years later there, and then to Florida, and finishing out his NHL career, as it turned out, with a couple of years with the Dallas Stars. And it was interesting to see. And I was wondering if reporters would approach Thomas Vokoun about Carlos, because they became very close in their time here, and then they were reunited later on with the Florida Panthers. And I know that Thomas was absolutely crestfallen from all the reports I got from Washington's practice rink earlier today.
Yeah, really broken up out there. And you know, just it's an example. I mean, like when I had heard about this terrible tragedy and you hear about how many people perished in this plane crash, you start to think, because, you know, as a broadcaster and as a person with who's fortunate enough to have a radio show here, you start to think of all the people that you can get on the air that you can help, that you can get on the air so that you can remember those that they've lost. And then you kind of think about it and you think, I don't know where to begin. There are the ripple effect of how many people are affected by this, you know, personally and professionally is just so vast and wide because of the magnitude of this tragedy. And we had spoken earlier via email, and you mentioned Thomas Vokoun, and I went, yes, of course, Thomas Vokoun is another one, a long list of amongst a long list of players that would be affected by this.
I mean, you know, thinking about like the guys who are now coaches, along with Brad McCrimmon, Igor Korolev, and Alex Karpatsev. I mean, the names just start rolling away, and people say, "Hey, it's a KHL team. Who do you know over there?" Well, the answer to that question is quite a few.
Joseph Vasilchuk. What do you remember about him?
I thought he was critical in the assimilation, if you will, of Alex Radulov into this team. He essentially was assigned to him as his babysitter. And in the half season that he spent here, I thought he did a darn good job with him, and a very good job with that. Joseph didn't spend all that much time here, so we don't have the longest of impressions about him, but just remembered how he was one of those that said, okay, whatever I have to do to help out with a young player like this, I will do. And it wasn't the case of a Russian helping a Russian. That was a Czech helping a Russian, and I thought he did a fantastic job of it.
This is a terrible tragedy, a KHL plane crash killing over 40 people and just wiping out an entire team. It's an awful story. I also want to remember, Pete, that Wade Bielak had his funeral earlier this week. You weren't able to attend, but what was the talk
I've talked to so many.
Your ways, yeah, like the aftermath of that.
I think we saw an awful lot of Predators players and ex-Predators players, guys who are no longer with the organization here, who stepped forward, and some who had never played here, who came here in support of Wade Bielak, like Ty Domi, for example, who came in from Toronto. Brian Burke, the Leafs general manager also, but then Steve Sullivan, J.P. Dumont, both having separated from the organization over the course of this summer. J.P. Dumont still living here, and it's not been confirmed to me yet, but when they were able to reach Jennifer Bielak and let her know before all of this blew up in the media last Wednesday afternoon, J.P. Dumont was just behind her in the car line at school as Jen was at the school to pick up their two daughters. And, you know, you don't want to find out about something like this via just turning on the radio and by chance. What did he just say? Because that essentially is what happened with Wade's mother back home in Saskatchewan.
Oh,
you always hope that authorities can reach, and they talk about names withheld until reaching next of kin. There's a great example.
Pete Weber, voice of the Nashville Predators. Look, we'll schedule a time to talk, and it's going to be about something good and happy. But, you know, with every tragedy like this, you remember the families, you remember those that perished, but you also have to remember that time heals all wounds, and you just have to take some time.
Yep, you definitely have to take some time. What we had talked about previously was Wade Bielak, one of three individuals who died over the course of the summer. That's why I think, Jeff, the magnitude of this one hits so hard, particularly when you consider it happens just 1 week later.
Pete, thanks a lot.
Glad to do it, Jeff. And Blue Jays fans, I know you're happy at the comeback over the Red Sox tonight, but I have to be honest and tell you, here I was, you've mentioned my time in Buffalo on baseball, I was rooting for Tim Wakefield finally to get number 200 tonight. He'll have to wait for the next time.
Don't be the enemy here.
Okay? I'm not trying to be the enemy. I'm just trying to tell you, while these are part of the personal interest we take in sports, And yes. Tim Wakefield is definitely one of those, because after that season in Buffalo in 1994, it looked like he was done as a pro. And here now we're talking about a man trying to win his 200th game.
Here he is. Pete, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. We'll talk again.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
On the other side of this update, Chris Draper, formerly of the Detroit Red Wings, remembers his former assistant coach, Brian McCrimmon. Jeff Sammet Show continues. Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.